You're listening to The Taxcast from the Tax Justice Network, available to everyone for download and broadcast on www.tackletaxhavens.com. I'm Naomi Fowler, and each month I'll be bringing you news and analysis of a subject our politicians don't want to talk about. Tax havens, the secrets of the shadow banking system, and financial abuses that have brought the world economy to its knees. I'll show you what's really going on, how we're paying for it, and what we can do about it. But first, the Taxcast news headlines for this month. It's banker bonus season again. Billions are still being awarded to top managers of the world's biggest banks, still using tax havens to avoid tax. The Bank of America pays zero corporation tax, even though US taxpayers spent over $200 billion bailing it out. In the UK, Barclays Bank pays around 1% tax on its profits. And that's one of the reasons people are changing banks. The Move Your Money campaign was launched in the UK this month, similar to one in the US. There, account holders have now shifted over $57 million from the big banks to credit unions and banks following ethical codes. Here's one Move Our Money campaigner in Oregon.
Unions are moving their money now. Churches are moving their money. But I think the biggest chunks of money that we need to look at are municipal, county, and state governments. They hold huge deposits, and right now they deposit that money into the very same Wall Street banks that ran roughshod over our community.
In the UK this month.
It really has been a nightmare, I've got to be honest. And this is a case that should never have come to court because it's unbelievable, really.
Thank you.
He opened a bank account in his pet dog's name in Monaco, where he received large payments. But one of Britain's most successful football managers, Harry Redknapp, was acquitted of tax evasion charges this month. The City of London police are partly funded by the banks. They've been criticised for targeting well-known sports people in expensive and unwinnable cases. Tax expert Richard Murphy.
It strikes of, frankly, a police authority seeking to get headline news for itself to distract from the fact that it isn't prosecuting in the City of London. Harry Redknapp was found not guilty, but they didn't bring the right charge, and that has put back the whole process of tackling those who do use tax havens. Because it seemed, bluntly, he got away with it.
The social networking giant Facebook is in the spotlight this month. It announced it'll float itself on the stock exchange and the public will be able to buy shares in the company. Founder Mark Zuckerberg claims Facebook's a social mission to make the world more open and connected. But tax justice experts say this social mission may not pay corporate income taxes for a generation by exploiting tax laws. They may also get a tax refund of $500 million, joining the ranks of other huge companies paying zero tax and enjoying similar public subsidies. The company already diverts its profits made in countries like the US and the UK through complex secrecy jurisdictions, including the Netherlands, Luxembourg, Ireland, and the Cayman Islands. More on that later. The director of India's Central Bureau of Investigation says $500 billion worth of Indian assets have been shifted illegally to tax havens. Mr. A.P. Singh condemned what he called the lack of political will in the leading tax haven states to help his country trace the money and tax it properly. He said the economies of developed countries were all too aware of how they're geared to receiving the flow of illegal capital from poorer countries. And those are the Taxcast headlines for this month. Now we're going to speak to economist Richard Murphy for his take on tax justice news. Okay, Richard, let's start with bankers' bonuses. There was unprecedented public attention on who was paid what this year. So, value for money, payment for success, bankers' bonuses, Richard.
They're not as big as they have been, but they're still very big. Now, the nature of risk is that you get the upside as well as the downside. Well, of course, what we saw in 2008 was that all the downside was borne by the taxpayer. So ordinary taxpayers are party to that risk, but they don't get the upside, whereas the bankers get the upside and none of the downside. Most people who work for banks get bonuses of £1,000 or £2,000 in UK terms, a few thousand dollars in US terms. Yeah, we're talking about tiny sums for most people in banks. The people we're really worried about are those in investment banks. They run to hundreds, maybe a few thousand people. And it's the fact that these people get such a disproportionate reward that worries us.
Well, their argument is that they're being paid for results. So presumably they see that as reward for success.
First of all, these people aren't punished if things go wrong. If they lose a lot of money, they don't have to repay. So is the whole bonus environment properly taxed at this time? And my answer to that is no. The tax system is far too generous with regard to bonuses at present. Quite a number of these bonuses are now paid in shares. That also means that quite possibly part of the bonus will now be recognised as capital gains rather than income, and as a consequence, it might be taxed at a lower rate. The second issue is that actually we give an enormous subsidy to pay these bonuses. When a bank declares that it's going to pay somebody a bonus of, let's call it £1 million, in the UK they get tax relief on that payment. This year they'll be getting tax relief at around 26% of that sum, so £260,000 of that bonus of £1 million is effectively paid by reducing the bank's corporation tax bill. Well, if that's the case, then we should be using the tax system to reprice bankers' bonuses, and that can be done by simply removing the tax relief on the part of the bonus that we consider excessive. Now, this is a completely valid use of the tax system to deliver a social purpose, to raise money, and to say something which is causing harm to the market, and that's what these bonuses generally are perceived to do, should be priced by the tax system to discourage them.
Right. Okay, so moving on. Let's talk about the Harry Redknapp acquittal this month. Now, Harry Redknapp is a very popular football manager in the UK. An interesting case, he opened a bank account in his dog's name in Monaco, which is a well-known tax haven. He was found not guilty of tax evasion. What's going on in this case?
The weird thing is that they are not prosecuting the people we would expect them to charge. This is the City of London Police. They are the people who are right in the middle of the financial services centre. They just cover the square mile, which covers the banking and finance centre of London, not the whole of London itself. And yet they prosecuted a football manager for tax evasion. And that football manager wasn't even a London football manager at the time. So very strange. This leads to a whole load of further questions, to be totally honest. I mean, it's hard to believe that if he was using that money for investment purposes, there wasn't something that should have been declared on his UK tax return. They ignored all of that and simply chose to prosecute him on the money that went in the first place, where they must have known he would use the defence that the money was a gift. It's very odd that they chose to go down that path.
So I should point out as well that the City of London Police are part funded by the banks. Do you think that's got anything to do with the way that they went about prosecuting a very popular sports personality in the UK?
Well, the strangest thing about the whole post-2008 regulation of the City of London is that not a single person has ever been prosecuted for anything that went wrong in the run-up to the biggest financial crisis that the UK has ever seen. Of course, that's not true elsewhere. In the US, we've seen prosecutions, we've seen people brought to account, and people are facing charges and trials. Nothing like that has happened in the UK at all. We've had some rather low-grade investigations. There is, I'm sure, corruption in football. I don't think anyone doubts that. But it is of nothing in scale of importance of the corruption that we also know has to have existed inside banking over the last few years.
OK, now Facebook has made a big announcement this month that it's going to be floating itself on the stock exchange, selling shares. How does it pay its tax?
Facebook is setting itself up to locate itself in Ireland. This is the big news that has really come out of this whole arrangement. Why is it going to be locating part of its commercial activities in Ireland? It's got a 12.5% corporation tax rate, whereas in OECD countries, on average, the rate is a bit over 25%, 26, 27. The result is that Ireland is used as a conduit to bill the sales of these companies into all the major developed and developing countries around the world, because India is a target for this same sort of operation from Ireland. The money goes to Ireland and then goes straight on to Bermuda and frankly is taxed at a very low rate indeed, normally 1 or 2%. Now, this means that we're seeing a giant effective transfer pricing operation to shift profits from major economies into Ireland and then on into a tax haven. This is a giant ruse. It is designed to increase corporate profits on an untaxed basis and strip profits out of the countries where they're really earned. How do we get around this? Country by country reporting, so we would know what was going on where. We actually say sales should be recorded on two bases. The place of origin, now in this case that would be Ireland, the other is the place of destination. In other words, where does the sale go to? If they manage to exit the US market by buying themselves and the intellectual property of Facebook out of the US, then in the future they're going to pay very little or no tax in the US at all. It's the race to the bottom gone mad. It's gone through the bottom in those cases.
Thanks, Richard. Richard Murphy of Tax Research UK and author of the book The Courageous State. He'll be back for his take on tax justice news next month. And now for this month's feature. The world of offshore tax havens is full of surprises. Did you know that Delaware is one of the world's largest? And did you know that the City of London's financial district, known as the Square Mile, is the beating heart of the global tax haven network? It sucks up trillions in hoarded cash from around the world, and it operates as a semi-autonomous state within a state. Here's this month's special report. This is the annual Lord Mayor of London Parade. Don't confuse him with the Mayor of London, because there are actually two Londons. The Mayor of London presides over the Greater London Municipality, and he's elected by Londoners. But he's got no jurisdiction at all over the Square Mile, the world's biggest financial hub. And neither does Parliament. The Lord Mayor of London's main role is as ambassador for UK financial services.
I started to investigate where the money was coming from.
Dr. Maurice Glassman of London Metropolitan University got interested in the City of London Corporation.
So I went to the library of the incorporated City of London to find London's founding charter. And the librarian said, oh no, Dr. Glassman, there is no charter. We precede Parliament. We're a city from time immemorial. We've never had to declare our assets because we were outside the sovereignty of Parliament. And I said, well, this is very interesting indeed.
Dr. Glassman tried to find out how much cash the local government of the Square Mile holds in its accounts.
There's three accounts that they hold, each of which gets £250 million a year in interest alone. So as the chair of the Finance Committee said, I can't tell you how much we have, Dr. Glassman, but I can assure you that it's truly colossal.
Next, Dr. Glassman wondered how you get elected to the City of London Corporation governing body. There are only around 9,000 residents left in the Square Mile, and the rest of the voters are actually the financial companies. They've got around 32,000 votes, based not on the principles of citizenship, but on something else.
If you had five workers, you got one vote, 10 workers, you got two votes. The maths was quite straightforward. 15 workers, three votes, but the workers had no vote. So effectively what you have is the bosses of firms vote for themselves, and that's called the Common Council of the City of London. Is completely and utterly dominated purely by the financial interest.
So in this part of London, global companies vote in British elections, and the City of London has its own special representative in Parliament.
Prime Minister. The Remembrancer has access to Parliament. The Remembrancer is the only lobbyist that's allowed to enter Parliament, sits behind the Speaker, the only non-parliamentarian who can enter the chamber. The Remembrancer is the most privileged lobbyist within the British state. There's no academic or political force that hasn't been bought off by the city in the last 800 years. The bailout was the biggest transfer of wealth from poor to rich since the Norman Conquest. It was an astonishing amount of money. We really weren't told. This is the global story.
He says if governments keep turning a blind eye to the secrecy jurisdictions operating under their watch, ordinary people will go on paying the price. You've been listening to the Taxcast. We'll bring you more news and analysis next month.